This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. In February, Congress passed what's being considered the most substantial overhaul to foster care in nearly 40 years. Federal funds that once went exclusively to foster care adoption and family reunification can now be used for prevention measures to keep families together. This is stuff like parenting classes, substance abuse treatment, and mental health counseling. Many are praising the new measure, but reporting from Carolina Public Press shows there may be some unintended consequences, like taking funding away from group homes that currently house thousands of children in the state. Frank Taylor is managing editor at Carolina Public Press, and he joins us now from partner station Blue Ridge Public Radio. Frank, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about this Family First Prevention Services Act. Not a lot of people paid attention to it when it passed back in February because it was tucked inside this bigger spending bill. So what exactly is it?
Sure. So you actually gave a very good description of what it does. The goal of it is very well intentioned. It's going to try to prevent children from having to enter the system by finding other solutions than foster care placements and group home placements. But it wants to find the most stable placements possible when kids do have to go into foster care. And that doesn't include group homes. That may be very laudable in intent. Now, if you run a group home, you might see it differently. But even advocates for children around the country, including some in North Carolina, and some groups representing social services professionals around the country, are saying there's a problem because we don't offer a solution for children who are already in the system. This may be a good piece of legislation for children who are going to be entering placements in the future. But each state has thousands of children who are in group home settings. Different states have different models, so it's very difficult to get an apples-to-apples comparison. But in North Carolina, if you look at foster care versus group homes, about one in five children that are looking at those options end up in group homes. And they are scattered. Some have a few hundred or maybe around 100 kids each in the group homes. They're scattered around the state. So, you know, the future of those kids is uncertain. There's a real question mark. This is why we're saying it's uncertain. It's not doom and gloom necessarily, but there's a lack of communication about how this is going to be implemented. Even the State Department of Health and Human Services is waiting on guidelines that they haven't gotten. And so this is going to go into effect in September 2019.
So
we're not sure what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of questions, but I want you to sort of articulate the reason behind this shift. We're really focusing on prevention, funding for prevention now, which hadn't been the case before.
Sure.
Why is this a new focus?
I think it comes out of the inundation of the system with families and kids who are affected by the opioid crisis. And so it's recognition that if we can avoid having these kids enter the system through other types of prevention, that probably is a better outcome than just saying, oh, well, these kids' parents are druggies and we're going to push them into the system that has traumatic and permanent consequences at times.
So we know that the population of kids in foster care in the United States has definitely gone up, as you mentioned, in large part due to the opioid crisis, maybe more than 10% from 2012 to 2016. But there are still some children who live in group homes and for whom group homes are actually a good option. Tell me a bit about sort of what do we mean when we say group home and who exactly are these homes serving?
Sure. So, you know, these are settings where there's, as I said, perhaps up to 100 kids in a home. These are facilities that house them and take care of them. In some ways, they're similar to a foster care setting, except that these are on a large scale. And there are some smaller group homes called cottage homes. There's actually a legislative effort underway. I don't know where it will go. But Congress may identify these as a separate category and open a small funding stream to them, but it's definitely not something that seems to be in the works for the larger group homes. And so that creates the question, if you take away the Title IV funding that's been going to these homes, Title IV-E Social Security Act funding, you know, what's going to happen to the kids who are already there?
So there has been funding from the federal government that has supported these homes up until this point. Now they're introducing a cap where you can only be funded for up to 2 weeks at one of these group homes. And there's a particular population of children who are in the system that for whom these homes are really important. These are kids in large sibling groups, kids who've had behavioral issues. What are you hearing on the ground from people in the system about what may happen to these kids?
Well, they don't know. I mean, they're waiting on guidelines, but they're making it clear this is not just a matter of let's go find a foster care home for them. They're saying we were the last resort to start with. That's why they're here. We, of course, they should have been in foster care settings if we could have found them. But because of behavioral health issues, because of large sibling groups, things like that, they're not there. Now, I will say some advocates we've talked to push back against that, and they said, well, that's the industry talking. I don't know. But there's certainly not a consensus from the people who are advocates for children on this about what's going to happen and what should happen. And so I think that there's a need for better answers and better conversations.
So clearly this new law is really focusing on families staying together or kids being in foster care homes instead of in group homes, which then means we would need more foster care families. What resources are going into preparing for that in North Carolina?
Well, I think it's an early part of the conversation, but one of the concerns is that we need to see more resources going in that direction. That's going to be a conversation that needs to take place in the next few months. Right now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement in that direction, over and above what we had in place.
And are group homes doing anything to prepare for changes in their funding? Do we have a sense of how badly they may be hit?
Well, in talking with them, they're saying we may have to close, but they really are in a wait and see moment right now. So this came as a wake up call, and we're writing it at this time with that in mind, that we may have a problem. When they get the new federal guidelines on implementation, it's possible that it will solve all of these problems. They don't seem to think that's the case, but they don't know. It really is a wait and see situation right now.
So you all spent some time visiting various group homes in the state. Can you tell us a little about sort of what you saw on the ground, who these children are, what you heard from various people?
So I should be clear, I didn't directly do the reporting or photography on this story. I'm the editor of Carolina Public Press. But in looking at what we got back from those we did send, we found kids, we went in the last week, we found kids involved in fun summer activities and recreation. I can't tell you that these are perfect settings, but I can tell you we didn't find kids in deplorable shape. We've heard horror stories in the past about group homes, and I'm sure many of them are quite true. But it appears that group homes are better settings than some homes where they are being abused. And we know of cases where kids have been abused in foster care as well. So, I mean, the system isn't perfect. This is just one component of it. We're not writing this story to advocate for keeping group homes as a major part of North Carolina's policy in the future. We're writing the story to ask, have we figured out what's going to happen for the kids who are already in the group homes?
And are there any group homes that are exempt from this new law? Because when we say group homes, there sort of is a distinction between those that are providing psychological services and support and those that aren't.
Yeah, North Carolina helps with that category by referring to those as therapeutic group homes. And this is not therapeutic group homes that are affected. So we're talking about a federal money stream. And it looks like the therapeutic homes are not directly affected. There is a piece of legislation that Congressman Meadows from Western North Carolina is working on right now that I don't fully understand it, but it appears as it's being developed, this legislation would potentially create a special category for cottage group homes, which are very small ones, and they may be exempted as well if that were to pass. That's what I know of right now.
So what should we be paying attention to moving forward? You said that reimbursements for these kids in congregate care could be cut off in September 2019, mm-hmm. unless states choose to extend the deadline. But there are some measures that may be in place by this coming October. Tell us about the timeline.
Yeah, so I think they're waiting on the guidelines on how this is going to be implemented. And depending on unknown parameters, some of these concerns may be addressed. But I think there's a concern right now that those who are setting the guidelines and communicate them need to be aware of these unintended consequences if they simply turn off the funding and do not have some type of an alternative for children who are in group home placements. I think in October we begin to get a better picture, but it would be helpful to even have some communication earlier than that.
And is there any sense of how advocates are preparing what they are doing in the next couple of months?
You know, it's tricky because I'm finding the advocates are all over the map on this. And we talked to several who are very concerned about the unintended consequences because that was what the story was about. We focused on that. But I'm finding there's not a consensus out there among advocates in the state or nationally. Some of them, you know, want group homes to go away as soon as possible. And others are saying maybe kind of the same thing, but they see this issue of what's going to happen to the kids. And it'd be good if there was more communication between those who have different perspectives and less argumentation.
Well, we will check in on your reporting as you all continue to follow this story. Frank Taylor is managing editor at Carolina Public Press. He joined us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Thanks so much, Frank.
Thank you.
You can find a link to all of their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we will talk about fat discrimination with a fat rights activist. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.